Will he tip the card?
I know I've said it before, but given the series of events that leads me into your studio today, Michael, I think there is something happening. There's something in the air.
We'll tip the card in.
I'll tip the card this weekend.
Mick Sharkey joins Racing Pulse to preview the big races in Friday Form Focus.
It is that time of the week, Friday Form Focus with Mick Sharkey, who has arrived for Friday Form Focus towing a 80-foot brand spanking new yacht. Because if you missed last week's Friday Form Focus, this is what you missed out on.
I can't believe, look closely, is $41. I think $41 is a crazy price. Just think, as a little each-way play, he's as good as anything in this race.
Nerve Not Verve is kicking back on the inside and trying to pick them up. Look closely. It's going to be a three-way go. Look closely. I reckon Look Closely has got up at Bolter's odds to beat Nerve Not Verve.
Think about number one, Look Closely, at 43.60 and 9.30.
Sharky. Well done. Congratulations.
Free money. Happens every week.
$43, Look Closely.
Wasn't bad, was it?
Not bad.
I was actually at a mate's place. Parents of one of my daughters, the girls, had a bit of a play day, so we're watching. I said, oh, we might just watch this race. Watching it. He said, have you backed something? He's thinking the yellow and black, I reckon. Anyway, wins. He goes, oh, geez, well done. What did that pay? Bob's up $43. And then, where was the tip? What are you doing? Cracked it with me. Absolutely cracked it. Doesn't listen to Friday Form Focus.
Well, you've
What's
got to
do it.
If you don't listen live, you've got to download the podcast. It's the only place.
That's right. It's
the only way to make money.
Just $43 winners every week. Now, if it's not now, Josh from Horsham bowling up
now,
three out of four.
Correct. Oh, no. Now, look, I say that, yet I need to give myself a good stern talking to because
you didn't back it.
We're up at the Gold Coast
drunk.
In the middle of a very hard week of work, non-stop work, and we actually flew home on the Saturday afternoon because we had to get back for...
I can't believe you got a flight out of there.
I was moving house, so it was the great daily double after a week there.
God.
So we actually jumped on the plane. I put the Melbourne quaddie on, put a few all-ups on, and you don't know the results. So it's like the thing when you land, and as soon as you can get Wi-Fi service through to see what the results are, first message that pops up on my phone from you, did your back look closely? And I'm like, oh my God, I have forgotten all about it. I didn't even put it in the quaddie, Sharky, and got every other leg. The quaddie paid $1,700 because I had absolutely forgotten about it. And, of course, the little multi gets beaten because, did you see the Camperdown Cup run of Chantrea last week?
Oh, my God.
It should have won by six.
48 lengths it should have won by.
And it's the only leg that we missed in the all-up. So
obviously, a few haven't been listening. I'm just getting a text from a mate, Vords, here, and he's saying, I've cracked it now too, $43. Where's the tip?
Well, what about the prayers?
Come on,
$51
TV.
On the multiplier. Shark. G'day, Shark. Thanks for the $41. Look closely. So there you go. It was a very, very good...
Days of the Sling are obviously dead because I haven't received anything in the post this week.
The Sling is gone. The Sling is gone. But do you know what, Sharky? You're only as good as your last tip. How confident are you at the Valley tomorrow?
You know what? Smallish fields, hot day or warm day. We've had a warm week. I think this track will be fast. And I think it'll be inside. I think you want to be on speed and leading. Might be tough to make ground there tomorrow.
And it looks on paper a favourites day?
It does.
All right. Well, the man who will give us the insight on the track. And it would be a tough week to be a track manager because you'd be just leaving the tap on the constant 24 hours per day with the weather that we've had this week. The rail is true at the Valley. Marty Simon's the man who will be telling us how everything is. How are you, Marty?
Good, Michael. How are you?
Very well. How much water have you had to put on this week?
We've put on 45 so far for the week, and we'll probably put another 5 to 10 on tonight. So that'll be around that 55 mil for the week.
Pretty 30 plus today? Yeah, 30 plus today, 30 plus tomorrow. So... is the shark on the money? Rail true, hot day, maybe inside leading place to be?
No, I reckon he's off this week because I reckon with the amount of water I put on, the track will be perfect. I think we'll just be a good four all day. Very slim chance of an upgrade because looking at the forecast, it is going to be 34, but there's not as much wind around. It's more the wind that dries this track out. So with those lighter winds, it's going to be hot, but it's not going to dry out. So I reckon we'll be on a good pull from probably three quarters of the day.
And it's been a little bit sticky, hasn't it, Marty? And it sort of looks that way tomorrow again, a bit humid. So that'll probably play in your favour too.
Yeah, very humid. And we also put like a wetting agent product on the track, which holds a bit of moisture in the track, so it doesn't actually dry out as much as what it does like before we start using that product. So with that, I'm pretty happy with it. We did get a bit of disease with the track around that New Year period. We sprayed that, and it's pretty healthy. So, and I've got the grass probably a fraction longer than I normally have it as well. So with all those things, I think you might be a bit wrong this week, Jeff.
That's not that dreaded cockchafer beetle that wasn't it that did damage a few years ago?
Yeah, no. Low and truly control that one these days. But no, just a bit of pitting and that, which is more from the humidity. So it's just one of those diseases most of the tracks get this time of the year.
And I've never heard of it. You've got a product that can retain the moisture that you put on the track.
Yeah, there's a couple of different... There's products out there that you can use as penetrants, which pushes the water through the profile, and there's also products out there that you can use that actually hold the moisture. So we put that on through our irrigation period in the summer. It just allows us not to put as much on as what we normally do. I think if you look at our records from previous years, we used to put about 70 mil on a week, so it's probably saving us about that 20 mil a week by putting that product on.
All right. Well, the favourite's going to be probably on the paint in the first, so the inside will be okay on by race one, even though the track will be holding that moisture?
Yeah, without a doubt. And we did core the track as well, so it's just got that little bit more give in it than normal. And like I said, with the hot days, we're just trying to make it nice and soft for the horses and give them that chance to get their toe into the ground a little bit. So with that, the irrigation will probably finish around about 6 a.m. tomorrow morning, so we've only got 6 hours until that first race, so I think it'll have a bit more in it than we normally do for a night meeting.
Who's your best of the day, Marty?
I've given up tipping horses now, Michael. So
never give up.
Jai McNeil in the first, I reckon. So Jai's been on fire, so we'll go with Horsey's horse in the first.
I like it. From the horse to the jockey. Melbourne Cup man, Jai McNeil and Duchy of Savoy. Good luck, Marty.
No, thanks, guys.
Martin Simon, track manager, joining us there. All right, Sharknado, let's get into the first race. And it'll be feast or famine for a lot of punters because they've got it down to a race in two. Unflinching, who couldn't have done any more on its two racetrack appearances, is into odds on now. $1.95, Duchy Savoy, who was dominant last start at Sandown, first up this time in, is at $2.40. Then you're out to $9.50, the superintendent. Is it a two-horse race, Sharky?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is, and I reckon Unflinching is the way to go in the first. I'm pretty confident, actually. I think he's one of the better. You know, on a day when a lot of the favourites look like they'll go very close, he's one of the better ones, I think. He's just fast. You know, it's Moonee Valley, 1,000 or 1,200 metres. Yeah, at this time of year, and I know there's going to be some genuine giving the track listening to Marty, but it still is an advantage to be up on speed. I think this fella just jumps. Thornton can control the pace. If something wants to kick up underneath him, like Obsessive Nature, who won really nicely at Stony Creek on debut, and that's Stony Creek summer form. I know it's a little bit off Broadway, but that often translates well to the Valley. I'm not sure why, but it seems to stand up pretty well, particularly at this time of year. If he wants to kick up, so be it. I just think Unflinching is the fastest horse in the race, and I can see him lobbing right up there, first two in running, stoking up round the corner for Damien Thornton. He looks fit enough off his jump outs. I think he just goes and wins.
Even money, touch of odds on about the right price?
Yeah, I'm always a little bit greedy. I'd like to see you know, $2 or a touch better. But I think that's probably the right separation between he and Duchy of Savoy, that probably 40 cents, 50 cents in the market, I reckon. Duchy of Savoy's a nice filly. We know she was fringe stakes class during her two-year-old and spring three-year-old prep. Sandown Hillside, that was just an easy kill. She was there for a job to do and, you know, get the maiden out the way. She did it. She'll be sort of in the first three or four on settling. It's just whether she can get out from two to give chase and run down Unflinching.
I was going to say, does Unflinching get a reasonably easy lead, or does Rock Artist kick up and make it difficult?
Well, Rock Artist has speed. I don't know if they want to really rip up and you know, be in a battle to lead. I think they'd be happy on Rock Artist just to hold the fence and sort of be there, you know, that second, third, somewhere like that, I think would suit that horse. The trick for Duchy of Savoy is if Obsessive Nature begins well and puts it in a pocket, because you could have a situation where Unflinching from four comes around and leads or sits outside Rock Artist or alongside Rock Artist, Then you've got Duchy of Savoy directly behind, and then you've got Obsessive Nature on the outside of Duchy of Savoy. So the valley, as we know, tight turning track, you don't want to be hemmed away like that and hoping for a run. 1,000 metres, you wouldn't think any of these would be tiring from the point of the corner. So it could be a tricky little map there for Duchy of Savoy.
What do you make of the win of Obsessive Nature at Stony Creek?
Rock solid. Didn't do much wrong. So always on speed, good gate speed, kicked away for the 400, took over and just kept running. Yeah, good, tough win. Carroccio's, he can produce a fast little horse to sort of midweek grade. Looks like he's got another one here.
If they overdo it, is the superintendent the closer?
Well, he probably is. I think he's probably got a little bit to find. Yep. You know, that Our Free Spirit universal lady form, I'm not sure that's, you know, crotch-grabbingly good form lines for this. I still think unflinchingly is the... You know, he's got some good, solid form around him. He's been running time. He's pretty foolproof at 1,000. I just think he's the one here.
All right, let's build the bank.
Yes,
race one, number one, unflinching. Just like what Sharky is every time he marches into the betting ring. Hopefully...
Marched in there for a while. Last time I did.
Do they still have betting rings there?
Yeah, Mornington. Michael Harrack got me last time with... Dawn County. So it was unfortunate. I did march in there too. Tap between my legs on the way out.
Hopefully we'll get Black Figures unflinching. A good thing, according to Sharky, in the first. And that leads us into an intriguing two-year-old race. The one scratching is the 6 Eros. Speaking to Sam Friedman, thinks it's made improvement. Was a good debut. Maybe just a little question mark with a lot of the unraced horses, would need to be a pretty good one to knock it off. It's a $2.40 favourite. Interesting that Jamie Carr's decided to ride Sumatra. Gee, look at the breeding of this
beautifully
horse.
Beautifully bred.
Lonro out of Earthquake.
Mm.
Wow.
Yum.
It's a $3.30 second favourite. Count the Headlights is also well in contention at $4.60. Of Sumatra, Count the Headlights, the other first starters, who's been the one that's caught your eye from the jump outs?
Oh, Sumatra and Count the Headlights, I think, from the jump outs have been the ones that have stood out. Count the Headlights, we know Mytho loves a little colour match, you know, with his Wiley Dalziel and Mr. Quickie, you know, that Rosemont Wiley Dalziel racing. Now we've got one here.
Amalgamation colours.
Aussie Care and Rosemont amalgamating colours. That's interesting, isn't it? Well bred horse. Well named too. Count the Headlights out of Tarny Dancer.
I don't follow. Count the headlights
on the highway, you know, Tiny Dancer. You know that line of the song?
Yes, Tiny Dancer, right.
Yeah, yes. So Tiny you know, Dancer. See where they're sort of working? Yeah. I didn't think you had to think about it that hard, to be honest.
Well,
but anyway, it's been a long week.
Not familiar
You're
with
still
that.
Coming down
I'm
off
trying
your
to think of the line. Give me the line in the song.
Hold me closer, Tiny Dancer, isn't it? Count the headlights on the highway.
Okay, all right. No, I know I the first line. I didn't know the second
line. I think it's an overrated song, to be honest. Ruined by that movie. You know, what's it called? Almost Famous? Was that it?
Was that it? With Kate Hudson.
Is that it?
I don't know. All right.
Anyway.
Can it run?
Yeah, it can. It's got ability. Yeah, it's got ability. Probably would like to see it at a track with a bit more room. Got blinkers on first time here. That's a little bit of a... I don't know. I just like to see these two-year-olds, particularly the colts, on debut. I just want to see them run nude, you know? No headgear, nothing like that. Just to have a look at them before we go putting blinkers on. But anyway, Kieran Maher, Dave Eustis probably have a better idea of it than me. Eros can make it a double, an early double for Anthony and Sam Friedman. This fellow was well touted, wasn't he, going into that Geelong race? And we knew that Extravagant Star and Eros would be the two that would come out of that race. And it looks like they're both sort of stakes class. Maybe Extravagant Star a touch better. But at least at this stage, I think it'd be fair to say, listed to Group 3 quality, both of those horses. Eros, he wants 1,200. He was building all the way through the line. Probably didn't know how to really quicken and chase down something that had also accelerated. I think he just sort of floated for a little bit. I just didn't really have an idea about it.
Carried his head a little higher.
Did a little.
As well.
Yeah, so he's still learning. But there's good raw ability and good speed there, and that'll help him. Beautifully drawn in three. You would think that he'd be right there on the speed.
I was going to say, does he sit outside the leader or lead?
I think he probably does, yeah. Hoops has got good speed too, number 9. It was quick away and right up there at Flemington. You know, down the straight, they can sort of hold up and just be a little bit more controlled. So whether he's that quick out this time, I'm not sure. But I think it's a good race for Eros. Sumatra,
Where does she position?
Most of these Cummings trained two-year-olds tend to just balance up a little and finish off. If you look at them across the journey with James at the helm, most of them just lob out. You know, they're handy. The first half of the field, but they just settle well, and then they sort of flow home. I loved her trial win at Warwick Farm. I thought she showed more than enough there to say she's up to winning a decent sort of race as a two-year-old. So she'll be there sort of stalking just off the speed. Interesting little pedigree here on one. Number one, Bill Boulder. Boulder City, not a stallion that immediately comes to mind. Do you know what he was? A half to Winx.
Yeah, the relation to Winx. I saw
an unraced schnitzel half to Winx. So there are a few of them starting to get around the place now, out of a Jeune mare. So bred by the great and owned by Gary Fennessy.
Really?
Yeah.
And what's it look like at the jump outs and trials? We spoke to Will Hayes yesterday.
Looks like it's got something.
Yeah, maybe a little bit more time.
Yeah, yeah. I think it'll win races for Gary, which would be great. So particularly one that you breed and you own yourself. So,
question without notice.
A bit of a thrill for him.
SMS from a listener. What's the best progeny Earthquake's produced?
Earthquake? Let me consult the stud book. I'm not sure. As a side note, I raced a half-brother to Earthquake with Amy Johnson, won a few races.
Well, she was a phenomenal two-year-old. Absolutely.
Oh, she was very good. I'm not sure how many foals Earthquake has actually had. Well, yeah, Cataclysm was her dam. Hang on, I'll have the answer for you in about 1 second. Australian.
Well, while you look that up, Eros is at $2.40. Sumatra's $3.30. Around about $2.40, right price, you'd be happy to take?
Yeah, I think that's a fair price. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's well and truly backable. So far, the best progeny, she had a Medaglia d'Oro called Namazu. It won 4 nondescript races, and that's about it. Okay. Seismix was her first foal unraced. Size Me was her second foal unraced. And now we roll into this one, Sumatra, which is a... Look, it looks like it'll probably be the best of the lot, I would say.
Right.
Petrify was the horse I raced with Amy. Won a few races, yeah.
All right. Well, Eros, $2.40. Team Friedman, running double, races 1 and 2, the two favourites to kick off proceedings at the Valley. SMS is coming through. Morning, boys. Race number 7, As I Please, was
like
super
it.
Winning first up. Can win again. This is from Josh from Horsham, so get your pens out, putters. Great Western on Sunday.
Oh, now this is the sort of real wheelhouse sort of areas here.
Race Great Western. 2.
Hang on, I've got to write this down.
Race 2, there'll be no markets up for these.
Race 2.
Fatali Bliss, a first starter for Andrew Bobbin.
Right.
Might be short, but looks very smart. All right,
okay,
so race 2.
It is. Josh
Fatali
knows.
Bliss. In the Cup, Aurora's Symphony can win a really competitive race. Did Chuck opt for sleeves today? Oh, he's got short sleeves on. So that's from Josh from Horsham, who has been in very good form himself of late as well. Can we get Shark's tips on race 1 again? I missed them. Well, you think that Unflinching could be one of the best of the day, yes?
Unflinching 48 times.
Yeah, the app dropped out, which is not unusual.
Oh, the app dropped out.
It's not unusual, so it's not our listener's fault. Race number 3. Can we continue the winning run? Only a smallish field. We've got two 2,500-metre races, which is quite unusual on the one card at the Valley. Diacan Sweet Junior, which is a nectarine.
Some sort of citrus fruit.
$2.40, looking 4 in a row. Good idea. Gee, I thought Good Idea was really good in the Bagot with 60 kilos. $3.80. With 58. Starcaster, the head case is at $4.60. In a twinkling, $7. And then the other three runners are considered $10 or better. Who do you like in the stayers?
I want to see Dyke and Sweet Jr. get out to this trip because he just keeps surging in his races. He just surges to the line late. I reckon staying at 2,000 metres at Caulfield last time and winning was a really, really good effort, and we've seen the form stand up, look closely, beat Nerve Not Verve, and they both came out of that race, ran last week. So I think the form's okay for a race like this. I think this race is, it's not a big field. I think you could probably put the sword through half of them. I just think Dyke and Sweet Jr. out to this distance, Jamie Carr and 53 Kegs. it's a really dangerous horse here. 82 Raider in a benchmark 100, but let's be honest, some of these are not going any higher than what they're at, whereas he's probably got another 10 points in him. You know, I could see him sort of leveling out of that 94 range, being as good as Good Idea, like a listed class stayer. I think that's fair and at this point of the game. I think they're going to the Hobart Cup after this.
Yep.
So, and I reckon Hobart will really suit this horse too. I think he can win this. The exacta horse, as you sort of alluded to, is Good Idea. And that was a great run last start. And he gets into a race now where he's not carrying these 60 kilos and giving stacks and stacks away. There's a little bit of ground to make up at the handicap with Dyke and Sweet Junior. But it's just sort of falling back into a race that I think suits him at first glance at the handicap. So he's the danger. But I'm keen, Dyke and Sweet Junior at 2,500. I think he's going to eat that.
And you'd think there'd be good speed with Starcaster and Lindsay Smith saying he wants Inner Twinkling to be up on the speed as well.
The trick is, if Starcaster goes out and rips along and then slows them up mid-race, so he's got a breather and he's got four or five lengths on them, as he can sometimes do, and then he gets going at the 800 and starts to really take it out of them, Dyke and Sweet Junior, Jamie Carr wouldn't want to be too far back.
Mm.
I don't think she has to be, though. I know that he's been off the pace at his last few, but I don't think he has to fall right out of his ground. Packing him over a mile, he was sitting right up on speed. So I think there's some versatility there for this horse as far as tactics are concerned.
Gee, it's a confident start to the program.
First
three favourites.
I'll tell you what time's this race?
Well,
1:50. So you know what will be happening? I would have already been out. I'll have a couple of bluefin tuna in the boat. I'll probably be butchering them at this point of the day, and I'll back the first three winners. It is going to be one of the great days tomorrow.
You can get 11:30, the first three all up right now. $11.30 for the first three faves to win at the Valley tomorrow.
Right tuna now. On too. They're on. You might be lucky on Monday. I might have some fresh bluefin for you.
That'll do. Huh? All right. First three favourites are home at the Valley. We'll take a break. Place your bets, punters. It's going to be a big day tomorrow at the Valley. We'll be back with race four after this.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Great to have your company on Friday Form Focus. If you missed the first three races, Sharky's pretty keen. The first three favourites at the Valley tomorrow will be saluting. SMSs coming through. Boys, can you please repeat Josh's tips? I love Josh from Horsham's selections.
I want mine, but you want Josh.
Flemington Race 7, he likes As I Please, the favourite in the last. Today, Great Western Sunday, Race 2 for Tali Bliss, a first starter for A. Bobbin, and Aurora's Symphony in the Cup on Sunday at Great Western. We're up to race number 4. I know you're very confident about the first three races. I'm not sure whether you'll be as confident about this race.
It
looks a tricky affair.
Horrible.
Saving is the $3.80 favourite after a great front-running ride and win last start. Lost Impact. Interesting listening to Lindsay Smith earlier this morning just saying that the horse just hates Barrier 1, and that's what it's got tomorrow, $4.60. Salto Angel is at $4.80, and then you're out to Wellsford at $6.50. This is a tricky affair. Who are you with, Shark?
Don't really be with any of them, to be honest. I agree with Lindsay. Just doesn't like being cluttered up, Lost Impact. But the thing is, desperate for this trip. I think wants this trip. As well as sort of being inside horses last time, just sort of one-paced. Alana Kelly's a good jockey. We spoke a lot about her on the verdict on Monday and spoke to Paddy Payne about her and what her strengths are at the moment. And I think tactically she's pretty good, but it's going to be a tricky task for her to get out and get this horse some clear running that she really needs the field to break up. I'm just not sure if it's going to do that. Coupe de Tonnerre, Matt Kamani, has this horse going fairly well. Has form around Tiger Tiger. You know, actually gave Tiger Tiger weight going back to Hillside two starts ago. And then, again, gave a couple of horses that pretty sort of handy benchmarks in this sort of grade. Brilliant Venture when he's up and about. He's a decent benchmark 70 sort of horse. he just got put into an awkward spot as the race started to unfold and lost a couple of positions in running. Visors go on, Jamie Carr on. He's got a wide gate to contend with, but I don't hate that for this horse because I think he wants to flow into his races a little bit. He would be the top pick, but not with any confidence at all.
$8 maybe each way play. What do you
It'll be sashimi's time. You know, no pies tomorrow. It's going to be sashimi for lunch. So we'll probably be just dipping into the sashimi.
Saving? What do you make of it?
3,000-metre horse.
Yep.
It and Alienated are very... Well, Alienated absolutely just sent a few mates in the cave absolutely alight at Cranbourne a week or so ago after a long lunch. So it did the job very, very nicely there at $21. Thank you very much. But look, wants 3,000, as does Saving.
All right. Maybe a little breather, race number 4.
Yes.
At the Valley tomorrow. Good luck to those who are getting involved. And it could be back to normal programming, race 5, because this is Sam Friedman's best of the day. Yulon Command loves the Valley. Hopefully gets to the front. Will be on speed. It's 2.25. Winsome's a good horse, though. And it was good first up, $2.90. Sam's Image at $6, The Last Napoleon. Then is the best of the rest. 2.25, Yulon Command. What are your thoughts, Sharky?
I've been against Winsome on a couple of occasions. And, you know, I think he's just... we know he's had some issues. In early days, he looked like it could be anything. When he steps out beyond 1,000 metres, he's just not the same horse, but kept fresh and kept to 1,000. I think that's the key to the horse. Yulon Command is quick, pretty one-dimensional, just jumps and runs, right? So we know where he's going to be. I just wonder if a horse like Grandview Avenue wants to kick up on him early, just make it work a little bit. Music Edition's got good speed, could be there for nuisance value as well from Barrier 2. I just wonder if Yulon Command has a couple of mates early and it might set it up for Winsome just to be behind them. Jai McNeil, he'll come out and sort of lob midfield. If there's any pressure at all applied to Yulon Command, if he can't control the race, I think Winsome's the one to come over the top late. On the flip side, if Matt Cartwright can get Yulon Command across really easily and he just sort of holds up and leads at his leisure, he's going to be very hard to run down. I'll back Winsome to beat Yulon Command, but I'll probably save on the exact of those two boxed for a few units just to cover my backside.
And are they clearly ahead of the rest, do you think?
Yeah, look, the rest are pretty exposed and they're well and truly known, you know, on the 9.55 circuit, aren't they? Like the likes of Pravro and Last Napoleon and the like, Music Edition, we know where they're at. It wouldn't shock you if one of them caused an upset because they're sort of floaters at this grade and every 12 months they bob up and win a race. I think Winsome's probably the one that still has a little more scope to improve his rating.
Winbet, Yulon Command, save on the exacta with... Winsome. Mm-hmm. And save on the exacta with Yulon Command, mm-hmm. The top two in race number 5. Here we go, Sharky. About time we've had someone here. It's been too much love for you.
Well, to give me a clip.
Saving a 3,000-metre horse. It beat Tiger Tiger by 6 lengths last time at the Valley over 2,500. Sharky's lost the plot. What are
Saving.
You saying?
Last time at the Valley, that was 3,000 metres.
Has he run over 2,500 at the Valley?
Yeah, November last year. That was a benchmark 64, I will remind you. It was a pretty ordinary race.
Old mate Tony,
I reckon I'm in a good spot here calling him a 3,000-metre horse.
Old mate Tony, who he's a bit of a sad fellow. He never sends in a positive text, but he said, has Sharky tipped a 41 winner? I haven't heard anything about it. Trying to be a bit facetious, old Tony. We love your input, Tone.
Tone.
Hopefully one day he'll have a smile on his
Tone,
face.
What's wrong with you, Tony?
He's a sad
I know what's
man.
Wrong with me.
Race number 6 is the first leg of the quaddie. It's over 1,200 metres, and I really like this horse, Sharp Response. You gave it a plug first up at Flemington. It ran really well. Julius Sandu's given me even more confidence speaking with him this morning. $3.50. Maramenko, very good first campaign. Well, last time in, I should say, first up at $3.60. Alberk, got to throw it in your trifectas at $8.50, and Deep Dive is at $10. I'm quite happy. $3.50 Sharp Response. What are you thinking, Sharp?
Yeah, hard to beat. Very hard to beat. And He's a bit like you back in your football days. Not a lot of height, but a lot of width, a lot of strength. A lot of strength about
especially
this
around
horse.
The hindquarters.
Yes. National Choice is a funny sort of fella. He go back to his two-year-old prep, and this was a horse that was, you know, won at Geelong really nicely. They tried him in a couple of decent races. He was running around in McNeil Stakes and third in a Guineas Prelude to Crosshaven and Amish Boy. Like, at times, he's looked a bit better than average. I reckon that Warrnambool race on New Year's Eve, I reckon that was a pretty good race. I think it's going to be a good form reference, particularly today. And National Choice was able to sit a lot closer than he has done in the past. We're used to seeing him dropping out and really charging late. He took a midfield spot there. There's enough speed in this race, I think, to bring him into it late. I reckon he's a... I'm seeing his odds, but I reckon...
$10?
Each way, I think it's an each way...
$13.
Each way, little one by two. I think National Choice is right in this race. Marimenko, European bred... sprinter. I think there's more to come from this horse. Remember that last prep was after nearly a year on the sidelines from a failed Hong Kong career, and he went 2 from 3, and his only defeat was at the hands of a pretty useful horse called The Garden, who shouldn't be far off returning to the track. I really think The Garden is a horse to watch this time around going through its grades. I reckon it could probably win 2 or 3 in a row. So I think that form line's okay. And the other one, as you said, Sharp Response. Really good run, first up. Made Clemenceau work late. We think Clemenceau's a bit better than average. He'll be back sitting off them worse in midfield and working into the race. Julius's horses are going really... Wasn't it good to see his two-year-old win last week?
It was impressive, too.
Yeah, it was good. Got that gap and really wanted to chase.
Big, scopey, rangy thing.
Yeah, that, whatever he's doing this prep... he's going to have a lot more fun going into that three-year-old preparation, I think. It was a super win.
Where do you think Marimenko will be in the run?
I reckon Marimenko from 7 probably pushes forward. It's a horse with good natural speed. I think I don't know whether it leads, but I think it'll jump, begin well, and just naturally be in that first 3 or 4.
All right, first leg of the quaddie. Sounds like there's a bit of value to be had here. What numbers are we putting in?
First leg of the quaddie, 2, 8, 9, and 11.
2, 8, 9, and 11. So the 2, which is...
3 and 4 pence.
Is the one we haven't spoken about. At $34 from the Click Ground Stable.
Yeah, he's the best roughie in the race.
Okay. 3 and 4 pence. Mm-hmm. The 2. The 8, National Choice, which is good value as well, $13. The 9, which is Marimenko, and 11, Sharp Response. Sharky's numbers in the first leg of the quaddie. Morning, boys. Oyster from Bo Morris is back in 2022.
Hitting... I like how Oyster just proclaims that he is back himself.
Heading to the Geelong...
I don't know where he's been. Where did he leave?
Heading to Geelong Greyhounds today.
Oh, yes.
I've got you an absolute moral. Race 4,
stuff.
Number 8, Major Bomber.
Right.
So, race 4, number 8, Major Bomber, $2.25 for those who want to have a
absolute moral,
a luck tester. It's tonight.
Tonight.
9.53. So,
sorry, we're 9.53.
Sorry, 19.53. 7.53. So, that might be a little something for those who have had a rapid racing day and you
Major
need to get out.
Bomber over the 4.60, that's, a grade 6 and 7.
That's
so.
From Oyster. All right. Race number 2, okay. Or the second leg of the quaddie tomorrow, is...
I know
race...
you're going to back it. You're backing it now, aren't you? You are. I can see you on your app.
I do like the pink box. I do like that. Race 7, Fundraiser is the favourite here. Over 1,500 metres.
1 week in the Gold Coast.
$3.30. No scratchings. Unanimous $3.70. Galactic Furies at $8 and High and Dry. Interesting how Team Hayes scratched Fundraiser yesterday... because Duvalu went around at $1.25 and would have spanked it anyway. It comes to what looks to be a better race, more suitable race today at the Valley, and runs for more prize money. Do you like Fundraiser?
Yeah, I do. If it was 12 to 1400, I'd be more confident. 1500 second up. I know it's only an extra 100 metres, but it just sometimes they can just need that bit of fitness for that extra 100 second up particularly. But I thought his run at Flemington was great down the straight. Everything just looks good on paper, doesn't it? Barrier 3, He's going to begin. He's going to be somewhere in the first half of the field. There's decent speed in the race. Surreal Image likes to get out and sort of run along a little bit. I think this is a really, really nice race for Fundraiser. There are a couple that you need to include in the quaddie along with him. Garen Piero is one of those. I think he beat a non-winner at Warrnambool in the Woodford Cup. Like, Mr. Cancun's had plenty of chances and he just can't get it done. Aurora Symphony's been going well around that form, though, so there were a few in that race that sort of had form. He was a big price, $26, but they did back him. So yeah, there was some confidence there, you know, that this horse was going to improve off that first up run at Flemington. I think when clearly, you know, all wasn't right first up. I think he has to go in the quaddie, and the other one is Unanimous, number 12. For Dream Thoroughbred's going really well. You know, just super consistent from that Warrnambool win, good runs at Santa, good runs at Flemington. This is no harder. The horse to keep a really close eye on, though, for the future is Red Kelly. This is a nice animal. Handicap stayer. I reckon, off the top of my head, Johnny Murtagh trained this horse in Ireland. They tried him in stakes grade on a couple of occasions and he ran well. I think there was a big handicap play that was coming up where the money was going to be on. He's been bought to come out here and he'll win races here. He's a decent talent, but this just might be a bit sharp for him. I know Moods can put speed into their legs, but a Manduro out of a Darshan mare, I'd be surprised if he was able to go and win at 1500. But just keep an eye on him. I think he'll run well. When he gets to 2,000 metres and beyond, I think he'll be winning some races.
Right. You're keen on Fundraiser. I had a chat to Will Hayes yesterday. This is what he had to say about Fundraiser.
Probably Fundraiser for me. He's going very well. He's ready for this race. And hopefully he will get an easy lead land in the first four with a run in transit and be too strong for him.
So that was Will Hayes saying
that. Isn't the stable going well too?
His best of the weekend is Fundraiser. Oh, they're doing really well.
A couple of Metro doubles so far this year. Basically, every time they take one to the track, they're lobbing up a winner. And you know what? I could absolutely kick myself. I think it was Monday. Maddie might have had JD on the radio and he tipped up his best for the week. Shalon Princess on Tuesday.
It got out to $6.
$6. I forgot all about it. Too busy work. You know when the work gets in the way?
It was a huge drifter.
I hate those days.
Huge drifter. All right, numbers in the second leg of the quaddie.
We're going to be a little bit brave here. Just run with 2, 9, and 12.
2, 9, and 12. Quick break. We'll be back with the last two legs of the Moonee Valley quaddie, and we'll look at rapid racing as well.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Welcome back to Friday Form Focus. Sharky, I didn't see this last night, but a few of the listeners are saying that 3 and 4 pence went around last night. So we'll need a different number in the first leg of the quaddie.
You know what? Let's just run with 8, 9, 11.
All right, 8, 9, 11 first leg, 2, 9, and 12 in the second leg. You are bold. We're up to race number 7, the third leg of the quaddie. And the market in this race here, we're up to race number
8.
We've done 7. Race number 8 in the boat, which
Coast
has been
taken a toll.
Which has been well backed, and Dean Lester and the crew are enjoying a great ride with this horse that just jumps and it runs and it runs, and it looks like the valley will suit it down to the ground. Into 290 now, Pioneer River. If it was at Flemington, it may well be the favourite. It's at 750, and good push from Lindsay Smith. At Sacred Palace is a good horse. If they're making ground, he could be the best of there too. Obviously, if it's an on-pace day, In the Boat is the one that he likes. Are you confident In the Boat tomorrow, Sharky?
Bred by Darren Weir In the Boat.
Really?
Yeah, fun fact for you. Now, In the Boat, I questioned whether that barrier would, talk about getting a race wrong, right? My knock on that race last time was the two favourites, In the Boat and Marine One, were both drawn wide, and I thought they'd have to do too much work, and they ran 1-2. So, you know, $41 winners are great, but sometimes you get the obvious absolutely wrong. But yeah, so he was great there in the boat, coming across, leading, controlling the race. Alana Kelly rode him beautifully. Hard to beat again. Takes a little step up in grade, but you'd think the Valley would suit. Natural speed runner with a good kick. It will go forward. You know, hard to beat. No knock on the horse in this race. I just think Broadway and fourth is a great each-way bet. Blinkers go back on. She's a stakes winner at this track. She was Group 3 placed last prep behind Fiesta and Felicia. The day she won on Cox Plate Day at the Valley, I reckon she won the Red Anchor by memory. I had a very, very good win bet on her. And you know those horses that you win on early in their career and you're forever just including them or throwing something on them because you had that sentimental connection? It's a bit like that with Broadway and fourth, but I genuinely think she's going well. The run behind Winsome first up was good. She just got into a really awkward spot there behind Pioneer River, and the 61 kilos probably pulled her up a bit. Gets a little bit of weight relief. Winner at the Valley. There's enough speed here to help bring her into the race late. I think she's a great each-way bet. She is on top for me.
So at $10, Broadway and fourth, number nine on top. Now, I think I've made a blue with your numbers here. The SMS machine has absolutely exploded. 8, 9, 11, first leg, the quaddie.
Yeah.
And it's 4, 9, and 12, second leg. Is that correct?
4, 9, and 12.
Yeah. I think I said 2, leaving fundraiser out. So 4, 9, and 12, which means neighbourhood is now immoral in the second leg of the quaddie. Broadway and fourth, $10 on top. In the boat, is the only reason you may have a slight set against in the boat, is it the price, $2.90?
Yeah, it's just a bit short for me. Bit short. I just think there's better value in Broadway and fourth each way. I think I really don't think she'll miss the top three. She's going really well.
All right, so 9, 11 in the boat. What else goes in the quaddie?
8, 9, 10, 11.
8, 9,
Pioneer River's
10,
flying. Josh Richards riding really well. Broadway and fourth for the reasons mentioned. Great leveller. Jamie Carr in good form. 3 from 3 this prep. John O'Connor brings it across in good shape and in the boat.
All right. That is the third leg of the quaddie. 8, 9, 10 and 11. And then,
what a horrible little race.
Gee, it's a tricky end. Speaking to Mitch Friedman. What was the plunge?
Not Mitch Friedman, this race though.
What was the plunge on Patrika Gold at Terang? It was absolutely
750 to 360.
Yeah, and was never going to get beaten. And
won by 28 lengths.
The second favourite came out and won yesterday at Warrnambool as well. Maria Mia, $5.50. Gibira, $6. Estrel Park, $7. Way to go, Paula, $7.50. How many are we coming home with, Shark?
We're going to come home with 4. We're going to come home with 2, 6, 7, and 11. And I'm running with Gloves Are Off.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Good Mooney Valley horse.
Loves the Valley.
Loves the Valley. Beat a horse called Space Force, going back 2 runs. And Space Force has got good ability. I think it's running today at Flemington, Space Force. It was really well touted, Space Force, at its first run. I think it was a Donald. And was right in the market at the Valley. Gloves Are Off was just too good for it. Again, ran well behind Sweet Carolina, who was very good first up that night. Sweet Carolina has since run really good race last week. It was probably a bit stiff, just the tempo probably beat it there. At Flemington, it'll win next start. I like the form lines around this horse. Queen Zyra is another winner out of that Mooney Valley run on the 17th of December. Kept fresh for this, that's when it goes best. Gloves Are Off. A good way to finish the day.
$10, I like that. All right, give us your numbers.
We're a bit tight early. But we come home
2
with value.
6, 7, and 11. Maria Mia, the 2, the 6, Gibira, 7, which is the Gloves Are Off, and then 11, Patrika Gold in the last leg of the quaddy. Quick break. On the other side of this, I'll get your best for Flemo, Rapid Racing Today, your best at the Valley. And Sharky, I need a stinking moral the place or a value play if I'm courageous the place tomorrow. Anywhere in the country for the Let It Ride Syndicate. That's BF from Hillside. You can work on that as well. Coming up after the break.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Welcome to Friday Form Focus. Sharky, before we get your best at the Valley, anywhere out wide for that matter of fact, what about rapid racing today at Flemington? 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock, seven races all down the Flemington straight with 30-minute gaps. Is there anything you like at Flemington today?
It's very good horse running today. Very good horse.
Is it Red Hawk?
It is Red Hawk.
Yeah, there's an SMS. Sharky, is Red Hawk just a stinking moral today?
You know, I try and refrain from using the word moral, but I think he's the best horse running on that program. Honestly, like, he's on that debut win, he could be anything. Six length speed, booted clear, and the only reason we haven't seen him is because he's been a little bit sort of shinny and immature.
Yeah. Barrier one?
No, I don't think barrier one's going to stop a horse like that. I think he's pretty handy.
Happy to take even money?
Yes.
All right. I've got Calvin McAvoy coming up after 10 o'clock, so I'll tell him you think it's immoral.
He should just... Well, don't do that. You don't want to destroy the young man. Why would you do that to somebody on a Friday?
So, Red Hawk, have we got anything that's a bit better value today?
As I Please in race 7.
And
I think
As I Please
will,
in
I
the
think
last.
It will win.
$3.70.
Anything else at value? Probably not. It doesn't look like a mad value day, but I will say at this meeting last year, I think there were a couple of favourites that got rolled, weren't there?
Yep.
Yeah. Just be a little bit careful.
Joe O'Neill earlier in the week did give Imposing Brook a good push at around about $10 in race number 2, which might be a little bit of value for the punters.
He's got a nice horse as well in race 2 is Cliff Brown.
Yes. Place of gold. It was a good debut win.
Yeah, it was, and the market loved it. And running in the old Cliffy Brown colours,
yes.
The old Cheviot.
Tampur Lane.
Fubu. Yeah.
All the good ones.
Love it.
All right. Out of time. Give us your best at the Valley tomorrow. How do we play the day?
Best at the Valley, unflinching. I could take that little first three races.
The triple?
Multi, yeah. And I think the best each way is Gloves Are Off in the last. So first and last.
And the stinking place moral for our all-up place crew?
Is there 8 in the first race with unflinching?
No, only 7.
Oh, okay. Eros.
Eros, race 2, the place.
That's interesting. Anyway, we'll go with Eros.
Eros it is. Sharknado, hope they're biting. We will see you Monday. We're live from Flemington on Monday.
Ooh,
we'll be doing the verdict out there with Matty Stewart as well. Time for the news on the other side of this. Trav Noonan with all the winners for Rapid Racing.